Hello, and welcome once again to the Learning Digital Photography Podcast. My name is Jason Anderson. I'm your host, and you are listening to episode number 71.
Hello, and welcome once again to the Learning Digital Photography Podcast. I'm your host, Jason Anderson. This is episode number 71. With me on the show today is Matthew Campagna. Matt, am I saying your last name right? Introduce yourself for me.
Matthew Campagna,
okay.
Campagna.
My apologies, Campagna. And Matthew is the author of the Turning Gate software, which is a set of plugins and templates for Lightroom. It's an interface that works with Lightroom, and he's got a fantastic setup. I wanted to bring Matthew on because I thought he would be the perfect person to help me talk about this whole concept of getting your images on the web. So many people out there these days are wanting to get photos on the web. They're using WordPress, they're using galleries, like simple gallery setups, and I figured Matt would be a good one to bring on because he could probably speak more to the stylistic points that all go into consideration if you really want things to be looking professional, if you have more than just a simple Flickr photo gallery, for instance. And I use Flickr as the kind of tongue-in-cheek version for a gallery of photography, because everyone knows that Flickr is where you go where you want to hug. It's not really a place where you're going to set up a professional-looking gallery of photography images to present your photographs to a client base. And I think that's kind of what Matthew is leaning towards here with his template that he uses in conjunction with Lightroom. So, Matthew, I'd like to get started. Tell us a little bit first about yourself and the Turning Gate plugins. I know you let me kick the tires on two of them. There's a client theme and an auto theme, but hopefully we get a little more insight as far as what the whole purpose behind the Turning Gate system is, because I think it is kind of a system.
It is. It's a component system, actually, and the plugins are meant to be used in conjunction with each other, and they can be used standalone as well, but they're also designed to work together so that you can cover a variety of bases, if you will.
Sure. Sure, sure. Okay, so that as far as that goes, when people are using or considering using something like the Turning Gate to get their photography on the web and have a complete system in place, there's a lot of things that I think people need to take into consideration that for some reason I don't think some people are doing.
Well, the web is a strange place for people who aren't I don't know if trained is the right word, but who aren't trained or who aren't
fluent.
Fluent, yes, fluent is actually a good choice. For people who aren't fluent in the web and the mechanics of the web, how things work, or how to present yourself on the web, it can be a very confusing place, and there are a lot of considerations that I think just don't factor into the novice mind when you're first approaching the web and trying to establish yourself as a presence there.
Right, and I think that kind of ties into why I wanted to bring you on the show, because for those that want to establish a web presence with their photography and with, say, a larger website where it's not just a gallery of images, where there's other content associated with that, there's a lot of things to take into consideration. And yes, photography is an important part of it, because a lot of people understand the concept that if you're a photographer and you shoot great images, your photography should speak for itself. And I appreciate that. And there is a certain amount of logic and merit to that argument, but it can't exist in a vacuum. And I think...
No, it really can't. I've seen a lot of good photographers with really bad websites. And I'm talking like websites that were made back in the 90s when you'd go to an image gallery and you've got these beautiful photographs, but you're viewing them at like a thumbnail size. Which, I'm sorry, I don't care how good a photographer you are. If that's the way you're showing your work, it's this little tiny thumbnail. It's just not going to fly on the modern web.
Yeah, it does not happen that way anymore. And even my own website, I'm guilty of letting that languish at times. So what I've actually done is I've taken my website and kind of twisted it a little bit. It's not the normal way a website is set up, because I wanted to actually give like a presentation of different web gallery options, and two of the web gallery formats that I have in place out there come from the Turning Gate website. Which ones are these, Matthew? These are the client and the auto viewer ones, I think.
Is it the auto index?
I think it's the
auto index and the client response gallery.
Right. And I'm still working on the second one. I had a little glitch when I migrated from my XP machine to my Windows 7 box. So that's not a reflection on Matthew, but hopefully by the time this podcast is live, that other gallery will be in place so you can do a side-by-side comparison. But if you're not even really interested in looking at mine, Matthew has some great demo galleries available over on the Turning Gate that you can look at so you can get an idea of the sense of style and what the layout's supposed to look like, because I went a little off the rails on one of them.
That can happen. I do give people a lot of options. There's a lot of flexibility in there, and you are all totally free to go off the rails as much as you like.
And well, I think that's a useful thing, though, is to give people the options. But I think another thing that also is important that kind of ties into that is this whole idea of, you know, what things you need to consider when you're getting your photos on the web. Because even when I don't think I'm a novice necessarily when it comes to getting photography on the web, even I, when I first started delving through your plugins, I was looking at this saying, wow, there's a lot of information here. Now, this is information I hadn't even thought about including in the whole setup and the layout and the text that I need to have on the homepage and links to various other accounts, because you allow the functionality to tie into a WordPress site. You have the functionality to tie into social media. Just there's so many different things, and I was just like, I should have known this.
Well, to be fair, you know, it's a lot of the stuff that even I didn't know when I set out to do this. Like, these things didn't just pop into existence the way they are. I've been doing this for over 5 years now. We got started in 2007 with my very first Lightroom plugin. And before that, I'd been a web designer since the late 90s. But started doing this, and a lot of the stuff has just sort of grown organically as people have come on board and they've said, hey, yeah, this is cool, but I want to be able to do this, or I want to be able to do that. You know, I want to be able to link up my Facebook pages, or hey, if I put a link on Facebook, I want it to show an icon, or how do I tie this into a blog? And all this functionality has been put into the plugins as a direct response to users' needs and requests.
Sure. And it's pretty evident that it's a pretty fully formed, I guess, component system, for lack of a better phrase. I don't know, for those of you that aren't familiar with some of the web terminology here, but it is a really full-formed component system that really does require you to take a little bit of time in setting everything up.
Like any software, there's a bit of a learning curve.
Sure, there's always going to be a little bit of a learning curve. What I like about the Turning Gate software, though, is how it lets you proceed without having to have all the answers in place, where you can get an idea of what the layout is going to look like, and then you can add on the different pieces that you want as you're working your way through it. And for those of you that aren't familiar enough with the web galleries inside Lightroom, you need to get more familiar with it. And a great way to do that is to use one of the free ones that Matthew has over on his website. I'll go ahead and give the URL out now. It's called theturninggate.net. Wait, is it .com or it's .net?
.net.
theturninggate.net. And you'll scroll through there, and you'll see a whole bunch of, I guess, blog posts is the best way to put it, where you have
The main site's a blog. It's multi-purpose. You know, it whenever I update the software, there's always news items about the updates and what features I've added or changed. But then there's also tutorials, just some general articles, things people can consider when they're putting their stuff online. And I've got articles about file naming and an article that explains the meaning of PPI versus DPI and how that's not important at all when you're putting things on the web. So there's a lot of general interest things there just for photographers, but then also a lot of tutorials that are specifically geared towards using the plugins that we produce.
Right. The thing I particularly liked about the website setup is the way you have it. It looks like it's an instance of WordPress.
It is. Yeah, I'm running on WordPress.
So it looks like you've got a great transition going between WordPress, and then you have the plugins, and then you also have the demos tied in there as well.
Right. There's a demo site where it's actually a fully functional website that is built entirely on the components, and that sort of serves as an example of what an entire site can look like. But then also, you know, each individual gallery is a demonstration of a specific plugin with specific features enabled, and kind of gives you an idea of the flexibility. Like, okay, well, here's two galleries made with the same thing, but you know, this one has these features enabled, this other one has different features enabled, and it sort of, I hope, shows that you can pick and choose which of these features you want to use depending on your specific needs.
Exactly. Dan, I think it's really fantastic how you've been able to successfully blend the functionality of WordPress. And you even have a WordPress theme, don't you?
I do, yeah.
So I think it's nice how you've been able to blend the functionality of something like a WordPress site, even using your WordPress theme, with the other plugins for Lightroom and the entire gallery themes that you would have in place to get this entire system set up so you have a professional-looking web presence. And I think that's the goal that most people have, right, is to get not only just get their images online, but also to establish themselves as a professional business person that has a professional-looking website interface that people can come to and they can interact with you through your web portal. They can look at some of your galleries. They can look at some of your services. They can look at some of your offerings. And I think your samples do a fantastic job of illustrating all the different services and features that you can incorporate into a website with a lot of different options. I love that one, for example, on the I think it's the services homepage or the services page where you have that video embedded from YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
That was very cool, and I'm trying to figure out a way to get something like that incorporated on my own end, because once this demonstration phase for the different types of gallery plugins is completed, I probably will be revamping my own website to something to that effect that you have set up there. So,
well,
yeah.
That's the component system in work. It's a separate component. You've got the auto index and the client response gallery, but then we also have another component called stage, and that allows you to set up pages for embedding things like video or flash galleries or various other types of media.
Right. If you go to the turninggate.net and you click on the link for galleries, you'll see a listing of all the galleries that Matthew has available. There's the, what is it? There's a client response gallery. There's a high slide gallery. There's a, would you say the stage?
Yeah, there's a lot of them. The base, well, again, it's hard to explain. It really depends on what your goal is in setting this thing up. It's, I mean, like you said, if people want to create a professional web space for themselves, I mean, that's really the goal in putting your own website online. If you just wanted to put images online, then, you know, there's Flickr, Picasa, Facebook for all of that. But you're wanting to establish a professional space. So if you already have a website of your own and you just want to publish image galleries, then you can just go straight to the galleries. But if you were starting from scratch and wanted to design an entire website based on our system, you can do that. And then you'd start with TTG CE2 pages. And pages just kind of lays a framework or a foundation for your website. So it gives you like a homepage, services page, info about, contact, and then your first gallery index.
Oh, I got you. Okay. So it's the pages one where the main setup is done. Because the way I had done it with mine is I just incorporated the different galleries into mine and had set those up so people could get an idea. Then I realized, of course, after I'd set all that up and I started digging through all your resource and help material, and he's got a great bunch of resource and help material on his site as well. So if you're looking to this podcast to be the answer of how do you do this with the Turning Gate client response versus how do you do this with the stage, or was it, you have another one that I liked, I think it was called Horizon.
Right, and that's just a sort of your classic horizontal scrolling gallery.
Yeah, I liked that one actually. I thought that was kind of cool too. But if you, anyway, the point being is if you want to get a how-to, he's got great Q&A section over on his website as well that can go into that. So it's I think it's really full-featured website layout. It's not just one of those default templates inside of Lightroom. Now, that kind of ties into another thing when it comes to getting your images on the web. We've talked about presentation. We've talked a little bit about the different styles that are available from the Turning Gate and layout and that sort of thing. But there's some other questions that are coming up more and more these days that are speaking to this whole idea of flash-based web galleries versus this new HTML5 format for photo galleries. And what I like about the Turning Gate, at least from initial appearances, is that it seems like you are more favoring the HTML5 format versus a Flash layout? Is that something you want to take a few minutes and expand a bit on?
Well, I am not and have never been a Flash developer.
Yay, sorry.
So, yeah, I mean, we're definitely favoring the HTML approach. I do offer some plugins that are Flash galleries, but what those are is I've taken third-party Flash galleries and created Lightroom plugins out of them with permission of the original Flash authors. So, like right now in Lightroom ships with a simple viewer gallery, an auto viewer gallery, a postcard viewer gallery, this stuff from Airtight Interactive. But back when I started doing this, Lightroom 1.0 days, Lightroom did not ship with those things. And so before Adobe was providing those plugins themselves, I was doing that.
Right.
So I made those first. Then Adobe came and put out their own versions. But they stopped actually supporting the Simple Viewer plugin at Simple Viewer 1.9, and they're now up to like 2.something. And so I'm back in touch with the guys at Simple Viewer, and I've been doing the 2.0 plugin on their behalf. So that's a free download from my site. You can go and you can get the TTG Simple Viewer, which is the most recent version of that gallery. And then they also have a new HTML5 gallery, Juicebox.
Oh, I hadn't seen the Juicebox one yet. Okay, cool.
Yeah, and that's you can actually download that from my site, but it's something I've been working with them on the Lightroom plugin, and you can download the Lightroom plugin for Juicebox from the Juicebox website. That's juicebox.net, and that's also a free download.
Oh, very cool. So I'll go ahead and add that to the show notes. So for those of you that are listening and don't want to stop your workout or stop your commute, we'll go ahead and add that to the show notes so we can get those that information out to you without you crashing into anyone. So don't start trying to type while you drive or anything like that. And then the other thing I also wanted to mention very briefly is it looks like you also have this branding service where you work with Petra. To help people get a brand identity. And we've talked about this on the podcast before and over on my own website, but it's interesting and I think it's refreshing to see the range of services that you offer, because it's not just the plugins, it's not just the photo galleries, it's not just the WordPress themes. You've got a pretty extensive range of services and support options that are available for people. So,
right,
Yeah, take a minute and talk a little bit about that branding service.
Sure.
And
okay. The branding services, I've hooked up with a designer, Petra Anderson Pardini. She's based in San Francisco. And I actually initially got in touch with her through one of my customers at the Turning Gate. And she just seemed like a well-connected person. And I'd been through a couple of struggles trying to find a designer. I'd had a few false starts, and I was getting really frustrated. Mm-hmm. So I was in contact with one of my customers who seemed well-connected, and I asked her, I was like, you don't by chance know a good graphic designer, do you? And so she hooked me up with Petra, and absolutely refreshing.
Right. The rest, as they say, is history, right?
Yeah. We started talking, and awesome. I mean, within a week, I decided to pursue the job with her, and then 2 weeks later, I had my logo. And so she designed the current version of the Turning Gates logo that you can see on our website right now. The whole process of working with her was fantastic. And so after that, I approached her and was just like, hey, how would you feel about offering your services to my customers through your site? So yeah, we've got the branding services page, which is really just a hookup for Petra. People can go through my site, find her, get in touch. And she does fantastic logo and color design for about $500 a job.
So
which I think is pretty reasonable. And she's actually working on another logo for another project I'm working on for me right now. So, I mean, I've gone back to her. I'm sending more business in that direction because she's great to work with.
Awesome. And one other thing, I know that we said we have a hard out time, but we do have a little bit of extra time here on the podcast. So I wanted to, if you have some time, to spend a little bit more of our podcast session here talking about the plugins as well.
Okay.
Because we've got the themes that incorporate with Lightroom, but we also have these plugins, and you mentioned that you have a couple Flash ones, so that's what prompted me to go over and do a refresh on that, because you can purchase any of this stuff from Matthew's site at theturninggate.net.
Right, most of the Flash ones, in fact, I think all the Flash ones I'm giving away for free. Okay. I used to charge for one or two of them because they were a lot of upkeep, but now they, yeah, all the Flash galleries have gone free. You can just download them for nothing.
There you go. And so there's a couple though. There's the auto viewer. If we were to look at just the Flash ones over on his site, there's the auto viewer. There's the Flash Nifties, the Mono Slideshow 2, the Polaroid Gallery. The postcard viewer, the simple viewer ones, which you had talked about. The other thing that kind of ties into this with these plugins is that a lot of your plugins, and I think your themes as well, are featured on the Adobe, what is it, the that portal page on Adobe's website where you feature different plugins. You're one of the biggest ones on there.
Yeah, from the Adobe page for Lightroom, you can leap over to my site. I've been around one of the longest as a provider of plugins. I'm one of the biggest providers of plugins for the web module. And I mean, I've got so much stuff on there. I mean, and we're talking a lot about the Flash stuff, but to be honest, Flash is kind of, you know, it's going out of style. I'd rather talk about some of the HTML stuff that I've been working on. And
My apologies there. You said that you had the Flash plugins, that reminded me that we needed to talk about the plugins as well. So it's not just the Flash ones. You have the HTML5 compatible ones. If we were to do a quick run through there, the Client Edition 2, what is it? The Client Response or Client?
They all belong to a series now. I started calling it Core Elements 2.
It's
the second version of the Core Elements line. And when I went to the Core Elements branding, it was really in an effort to sort of bring the components all together under one umbrella. Because as I mentioned before, like the galleries and the plugins have all been developed very organically over time since 2007. And so they had kind of been developing unevenly for a while. And so when I first put the Core Elements branding on them, the idea was to release new versions of these things that were more cohesive. They were more meant to work together as components rather than as separate things. So the CE2 plugins are the latest version of that. Like the CE2 components are all meant to be worked with together. And you can pick and choose which you want to use based on the features that you need.
So I guess that kind of ties into one of the questions that possibly some of the readers might have is, in looking at the galleries versus the plugins, would you recommend that someone who's using the CE2 gallery incorporate that with a CE2 plugin? Like what's the difference there? I could see someone saying, well, wait a minute, I don't get it. There's a gallery, there's a plugin, there's a WordPress theme.
Okay, well, they're all plugins.
Which one am I supposed to use where kind of thing? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Just the terminology is funny. They're all plugins. Some of the plugins produce pages. Some of them create galleries. And so the basic galleries, there's the High Slide Gallery, the Photo Swipe Gallery, and Horizon. And those are just straight-up image galleries. And all three of those serve the same purpose, which is to present your images. And they have a number of features. They've got different things you can do with them. Like they offer e-commerce features, and there's a lot of different visual customizations you can make. You can change all the colors.
Right.
But it's really just between those three, High Slide, Photo Swipe, and Horizon, is just choosing which style of presentation you prefer for your website.
I'm sorry, say those again. High Slide.
It's the High Slide Gallery, the Photo Swipe Gallery, and Horizon. And the Horizon is just the horizontal scrolling gallery.
Well, you say just, but
well, the others, they're more of a
time to put all these things together. I mean, you said you've been doing this, what, for 5 years now?
Yeah, it takes a massive amount of time. That's why I have to charge for them instead of just giving them away for free.
Right. Otherwise, we'd all be working in some, or living in some utopian society. So
yes.
Which, who knows, may come someday, but it's not here today. We have to pay the bills. So yeah, check these out. They the galleries and plugins and I'll leave the semantics to the way Matt described them, because I think he described them better than I ever could.
Right.
But they range anywhere from free up to, it looks like your most expensive one is $50.
$50. That's our shopping cart system, which is actually, it's a back end to our image galleries. So if you're using the High Slide Gallery, the Photo Swipe Gallery, or the Horizon Gallery, if you want to integrate those with our shopping cart system, then you can do that. And then the galleries act as a front end where, you know, people can pick, you know, look at images and add them to the cart. And then the shopping cart system operates on the back end, and you can either accept invoices without payment, or you can run invoices through PayPal and collect payment online.
Oh, excellent. So that kind of ties into one of the other questions I was going to ask, since we were segueing into the shopping cart system. You mentioned the PayPal option there. What about handling of delivery? Like, say, I know there's a couple of services out there,
right,
like Smug Mug and others, where they offer the complete end-to-end solution for you. So you can set up your gallery, set up the payment gateway, set up the printing services and all that kind of stuff, where it's set it and forget it kind of mentality. Does your shopping cart system incorporate that too, or is there still
a phase where
– go ahead.
The shopping cart system is a self-fulfillment option. So you can either – like I said, you can take the payment through PayPal, and then you can deliver on your own later, or you can accept just the invoice. Like if you don't want to use PayPal, you want to collect payment in person or use your own payment gateway or whatever. Then you can just have it handle the invoice, then you handle payment separately, and then fulfill – the order on your own.
Oh, so the fulfillment service is always done by the photographer.
With the shopping cart. Now, the other side of e-commerce, all of our galleries, the High Slide, the PhotoSwipe, Horizon, we've also partnered with Photomoto.com.
There we go.
Which is an online ordering and fulfillment system that, again, runs out of San Francisco. But they're great guys, and their service is really awesome. So if you're going to use Photomoto.com, you set up an account with them. Photomoto accounts are free. They just take a percentage of sales that go through their system.
Nice.
And it's quite reasonable. It puts buttons on all the images on your gallery so people can click Add to Cart. And then you set up all the products that you want to offer in your Photomoto account. So they offer premium prints, fine art prints, canvas prints. At some point, I think they want to get into like mugs and mouse pads and sort of expanding the product range. But you can pick and choose what you want to offer.
Yeah, I don't think I want to put my photos on a mug. Strokes for different folks.
I like mugs. I'm a coffee drinker. I like mugs.
Oh, well, don't get me wrong. I love coffee too, but I definitely – well – I'll leave that alone. I'll leave that one alone. Some people may like things on mugs. I should say I do have a coffee mug with the website that says canonblogger.com on there. So
there
I definitely have like a brand identity in that vein as well. And there's definitely different ways, shapes, and forms that you can sell your product as, whether it's art gallery types of prints, whether it's photo mugs, like Matthew is saying, and it sounds like Photomoto has a pretty extensive range of offerings there.
They offer a lot of options, and they're constantly expanding their options. And
right.
They've got print labs they're now partnered with in the UK as well, so I think they're doing local shipping out of the UK for European customers.
Awesome.
But they'll deliver worldwide. So, like, I'm in South Korea, and I just ordered 2 canvas prints this morning, actually. I'm having them shipped to Korea so I can hang them in a cafe here that a friend of mine owns.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. Well, that's the last thing I want to talk about, because we've talked a lot about setting up a photo gallery online, what it takes to get a full-form website set up, because there's a lot of components that go into it. So we've talked about that. We've talked about the different components. We've talked about the layout, the presentation styles, even shopping cart systems. But the last thing that we wanted to talk about, and I'm going to kind of make this egocentric and throw it to you, because you said you're in Seoul, South Korea, and
yeah.
I've only had one other opportunity to talk to someone. I talked to Martin Bailey, who's over in Japan, another fantastic photographer. But that's the only other time I've really had a chance to go truly global with a podcast. So I'd like to, if you don't mind, take a couple minutes and just tell us a little bit about your background. What brought you into this? You said you've always been a developer. It looks like, because these galleries are your images, correct?
Yes, they are. They're all my images.
So you're also a photographer, which kind of speaks to a pretty extensive range of skills and abilities. And just tell us a little bit about how you got into this. What sparked your interest? Was it the lack of things inside Lightroom? You're obviously a huge Lightroom fan.
I am. Yeah, I love Lightroom. Lightroom is great. It's not perfect, but it's great.
Well, like software, there's always going to be room for improvement. Have you thought about incorporating any kind of plugins to other software packages, which is going to be the last question, but still continue with some of your background as far as how you got into photography, how you got into web development, what prompted you to the plugins, that sort of thing.
Okay. Well, I've been into photography since I was a kid. My dad gave me my first SLR. It was a Vivitar film camera that he used to take my baby pictures when I was very young, and then I later inherited that camera.
Oh, that's awesome.
And then, I took that to Italy with me, my first time abroad, and used that there. And when I was in college, I was the photo editor for the newspaper. I had my own black and white darkroom for 2 years on the newspaper's budget, which was awesome.
Hey, always on someone else's budget.
Yeah, I didn't have to pay for any of my supplies, so I was constantly just developing my, you know, the film, processing film, printing black and white images, did all the newspaper stuff, did my own personal stuff. So I've always done photography. And then out of school, I worked for a little while for a newspaper, and then I went to photography school later on. I graduated from Hallmark Institute of Photography in 2009. Okay. And then spent some time working in the photo industry in Dallas and then in Los Angeles. So I've got a background in professional photography. Wow. As well as in professional web design. And so with the Turning Gate, I'm kind of bringing those things together. And I like to say I my area of expertise and of interest is where the disciplines of photography and web design intersect, which is something that you don't actually get a lot of with your average web designer, because the web is based on text. It's search engines run on text. The web designs, websites are designed around textual content. And I think that for the photographer who wants to put up a photo-based website, that it's a bit of an awkward transition trying to shoehorn these images into a space that's based on text.
Yes, that's a very astute observation about, like you said, shoehorning images into a text-based world, or vice versa, having a text-based world and trying to insert images into them. From a web developer's perspective, you just think of it as an image source reference file.
Don't really think of it like that.
Or something like that. And that's going back to old school HTML days, though. But
it's just a shift of focus when you're designing a website. I mean, your typical web designer is going to look at your textual content and think, okay, how do I design this for text? And then sort of images are a side thought or an afterthought. Right. Whereas approaching as a photographer, I'm looking at a website. I'm like, okay, well, images come first. How do I make this a home for my images? And then use text in ways around those images to sort of complement the imagery. And a part of that sort of gets into like I don't know if you've noticed it, but sort of a minimalist style in my own designs. Like I don't have a lot of fancy background images or graphics that are competing for attention. Like I'm really mostly working with just code, web design as code, and what that can be as a stage for your images, because I really want the images to take the focus.
Right. And I actually have noticed that it is very much a minimalist design. The only other web gallery I've seen that's even remotely similar to this is one from a friend of mine, Sean. What's his last name? Sean
McCormick.
McCormick, yes. Thank you, Sean McCormick. That does.
Sean's a good guy.
Oh, he's a great guy. He did the Lightroom Expedition gallery style, which. And he's wicked smart when it comes to Lightroom too. So that's another one that's featured over on my website, where you can see different gallery styles and how their layouts might look. And Sean's a great guy as well. But getting back to your style thing though, he's the only other one I've seen out there that is similar enough in design to you where it is minimalist, where it's all about the images and the text is there to support the images rather than the other way around.
Right, and also it's all about the photography. It's not about the web design so much.
Exactly. I mean,
the web design is there to contain the images and to present them. But I really just want the focus to be on the photography. And I think that's what a good web design is about. It's not about like, ooh, look how flashy my background images and my little neat graphics are. I mean, it's really about creating a home that allows your content to shine and take the spotlight.
Right, and what ties in, I think, so nicely with all of this is the fact that these web modules or web galleries or plugins or whatever you want to call them, from a Lightroom's perspective, are integrated. So they integrate so nicely that once you have all the pieces in place, changing out your galleries in conjunction with Lightroom is so much easier. Because
exactly.
I know in other systems that I've used in the past, you've had to completely modify the code. You've had to upload new galleries and do new image reference locator tags and rename files. It was maddening when I had to do that in Dreamweaver.
And that's one of the things. It's like a website is no good if your workflow is so broken that you can't update it regularly or maintain your content in a way that's easy for you to do. Like, there's so many old websites I've seen, you know, really fantastic photographers, full-on professional guys. They make their living doing photography, but their websites just never get updated because it's such a pain. They've got to contact a web designer, or they've got to sit down for hours and try to remember how to use Dreamweaver or whatever. And it's, I mean, if the whole point of what I do and the reason that I do it through Lightroom is because it should be a part of your workflow. It's not something that's sort of tacked on as an afterthought to the workflow. It's your workflow begins with capture and it follows all the way through to output for web or printing for clients or whatever. But I mean, the web is a part of that. It's a part of the same workflow. It's all one thing. And that's one thing, like you asked if I was ever going to sort of do things for other software applications. And I mean, really that kind of depends on the API and the architecture that's there for supporting the plugins. But
sure.
I mean, for me, Lightroom is my workflow application of choice, and that's why it's where my focus lies for the things that I develop.
Right. And I think it's pretty evident because, and we've talked about this already, but just to kind of hammer the point home, having a workflow that starts, like you said, with capture and going through to publication, regardless of whether that publication is to print, to Canvas, to the web interface, we're using a web gallery, like those we use in Lightroom. The end game is to get your images in front of your clients.
Exactly.
And it doesn't matter what workflow you have. Ultimately, you have to decide, and I don't mean you, Matthew, I mean you, the listener, have to decide what workflow works best for you. If Lightroom doesn't work best for you, the turning gate options might not be the most suitable methods for you, just like Lightroom Expedition might not be. You might want to be looking at something like a 500px interface or a Flickr interface because you're more into social media than you are into having an established web presence. Or if you don't use Lightroom and you're using Aperture or you're using Photoshop or something like that, that's going to be a function of what your end game is. And you as the photographer need to define for your own self what will work and what won't work with regard to accomplishing your objectives. So, yeah,
right.
I think so.
There are a lot of options out there, too. As much as I hate to admit it, I want to be the only option,
well,
but
sure,
it just isn't so.
It never seems to be that way, does it?
No. There's so many options. But what I try to do is create an option that is unique and something that's going to work for people, is as flexible as possible. Like our shopping cart system, I don't think is like any other shopping cart system that's available.
It isn't. And I liked also that you said you could use your own payment gateways. So for those of you that don't have PayPal accounts or are hesitant to use PayPal or, just have particular setups, the API that – I probably shouldn't use techno terms. The way Matthew has set this up is very nice in that you can pick any kind of payment gateway you want. So if you're already going through...
Right, although PayPal is the only one that works through the interface. Like if you have a separate PayPal, then yeah, you get the invoice and then you go and you process that on your own apart from the website. But if you're okay with PayPal, then you can do that right there online. Like they can pay them when they check out.
Okay, cancel that. Never mind. It doesn't work. It's it. Said that.
Sorry. But the shopping cart is neat, though, because we've tried to make it as flexible as possible. So, like, we used to have a gallery that sort of had some built-in shopping cart functionality, but it was very one-dimensional.
Okay.
And, my user base is international, and so you've got different e-commerce jurisdictions in Germany than you have in the United States, than you have in France. And so there's all these – and then even within the U.S., I mean, every state has their own set of regulations that govern how you have to do commerce online. And
Amazon Web Services is a great example of that. For those that have had Amazon accounts, some of you got snipped like I did in Colorado because they didn't want to go through all the loopholes of taxes for different web services and that sort of thing. So,
it's a nightmare. So what we've done with the shopping cart system is we've really put a lot of effort into making it as flexible as humanly possible so that if it's required that you display like terms of purchase, then there's an option to do that. And you can set up, like, you can configure all of your taxes and how that's handled, whether shipping is – or how shipping is handled. I mean, there's options in there to make it as flexible as possible. And we've had people in Germany say, hey, I can't use this because I need it to be able to do this to sort of correspond with my local jurisdictions. We've said, okay, we'll update the cart so you can do that. And so it's a really flexible option for international users. We've tried to make it so that it can do anything for anyone. But then also it's like – a lot of shopping cart systems really suffer because they're based on the idea that, oh, I have a product and I have to log this product individually in a database. And so when you're publishing an image gallery, it's like 100 images, and then therefore each one of those images is its own separate product. It's a nightmare having to log 100 individual products into a database.
Yes.
And we do away with all of that. What you do is you set up a class, and then you – so maybe you have school prints, and this is how your school prints are always priced, and then it has a, you know, an ID. And so when you publish your gallery, you just tell it the ID that you want to use, and it will price every image in that gallery according to that class. Or you can assign class individually to images in metadata, so you can have galleries of mixed pricing. But you never, ever have to do any of this, like, individual product login.
Database entry, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's all handled en masse using classes. It's a really smart system, I think, for photographers.
Right.
And really helps to – it's so much nicer than I think a lot of other options that are just, like, individual product-based shopping cart systems.
Right. But we're not biased or anything. We're just saying from, you know, objective analysis here.
Exactly. Well, I mean, it's a case of where, you know, we identified a flaw and said, you know, this isn't really the best way to work with this kind of volume.
Sure.
And so let's take a different approach. And that's really what the Turning Gate is about. It's like we want to take a different approach.
No, and I totally understand and agree with that because if you keep, you know, what's the age-old saying? You know, you can't expect a different result by using the same behavior. That's the first
exactly.
or something like that.
Like you said before, it's about your workflow and your end game. So it's not the shopping cart for everybody. Like if you're dealing with products that have a limited inventory, this is absolutely not the shopping cart system for you.
Right, right.
But we're working with digital photography. You can create as many prints as you want, unless you're, you know, intentionally making limited editions.
Right.
It's not an inventory system. So why treat it that way?
But even then, if you have limited edition prints, then what you're going to want to be doing is rotating these in and out of your galleries for stuff for products that are for sale periodically.
Right.
You don't want to have a gallery of 50 images on your website and each one is limited edition. Oh, yeah, we've sold out of those. Then why are they still on your website? You know.
Exactly. Yeah. So then it becomes a matter of you maintaining your content, which.
Right.
Again, it's something we've tried to make as, I mean, it's not as easy as possible, but as little painful as possible.
And, well, it just ties into that whole original concept that you have to have an idea of what your end game is. You know, you have to have the concept down. This is what my images are. This is what the gallery I want to have looks like. You know, this is what I want to have on the web. How do I get from A to Z?
Precisely.
On that? And Lightroom is an integral part of this, of course, so it's just a question of finding the correct gallery or the best gallery that fits your needs or the best plugins that fit your needs.
Right.
And the Turning Gate definitely offers quite a few options there. The last thing I kind of wanted to touch on before we wrap up here is this piece you mentioned where a client came to you from Germany and said, we can't use it because this.
Yes.
Or we can't use it because it doesn't do that. So this kind of ties into the whole question of support because I know for myself – and probably for a lot of other people out there, doesn't matter if it's $5, $10, $15, even upwards to $50 or $500. You know, when you look at the cost of the Adobe suite, you know, that's a serious chunk of change. So when people are spending money, they like to know, is there support? You know, how extensive is that support? If something breaks, is there someone there to help me fix it? And the fact that you said that earlier kind of alludes to the fact that, yes, the Turning Gate does come with a fair amount of support. Now, Matthew probably is not going to set up your website for you. I don't think that goes that far.
In most cases, though. It's happened occasionally. Like in really extreme circumstances. And me saying that is going to get me in all kinds of trouble, I'm sure.
No.
But
like
we do have an active support community. We have there's a forum on my website, and it's community.theturninggate.net. But you can just go to the main URL, theturninggate.net, and get there through our support links in the menu. But yeah, so people can go in there, ask questions, and it's the first thing I do when I wake up in the morning. It's the last thing I do before I go to bed. I mean, I get up, and before I even take a shower, I'm checking my messages and responding to customers. And most days, not every day, most days I'll be in there a few times during the day as well if I'm nearby the computer.
Yeah, I'm not sure you want to set yourself up like that. But
I, to be honest, I spend more time looking at that forum than is even healthy for me. But that's how dedicated I am to putting the support. Now, luckily, I also have a few really excellent community members who contribute a lot of their time. Like Rod Barbie is a photographer based in Washington who spends an exorbitant amount of time helping people in my forum so that I don't have to. And I'm so grateful to Rod for all of the time and effort he puts into helping the customers out. Love this guy.
If you want, we can throw a little plug in there for him as well and throw up the show notes so people can check it, because I'm assuming he uses the Turning Gate as well.
He does.
So if you want, we can show another couple sample sites aside from the ones that Matthew has up and the ones that I've put up, because the ones that I've put up on my site, it's kind of like a four-square grid where you'll see two of the ones that come from the Turning Gate, one of the Lightroom Expedition, which comes from Sean McCormick, and then the fourth one that I have up over on my site right now is one called, J Gallery? I forget what it's called off the top of my head, but there's another one up there that for the time being that you can check out. It's called, J Gallery. J Album. It's called J Album. So if you go over on that, you can see some of the different types of styles and options that are available within the photography community. Obviously, though, for the purposes of this podcast, we are focusing more of our attention to the Turning Gate because it is a more professional-based solution. So it's for those of you that are interested in getting your photography galleries up on the web and having a supporting system or a component system like Matthew alluded to earlier there to give it a more professional look and feel. Like on that J Album one, it's okay. I just close out of it, but I don't like that there's an ad on there that you have to click out of. It's like, really?
Yeah. I've never been thrilled with them as a solution personally, but I don't also want to badmouth people on a podcast. So.
No worries. And, it's different strokes for different folks, like we said.
It's whatever
your workflow is. And if the Turning Gate isn't for you, we're not going to force anything down your throat.
Exactly.
But for those of you that are aperture users, that's not going to work either. So, there's different options out there for different people. Matt, I'm sorry. Go ahead. You had something you were getting ready to say there.
Oh, I was just going to say, what was I going to say? This site has been also featured in a lot of the Lightroom books. I've been in the last three editions of the Lightroom book by Martin Evening.
Oh, nice.
Got a mention in one of David Duchemin's books.
I think that's where I learned about you from.
He's fantastic. I love his stuff.
Yeah.
A few others. I've been in some European books a couple times in the French magazine. I think it's Le Monde de la Photo.
I won't be able to remember that. I'm going to have to write that one. Yeah. Say that one again, Le Monde.
I think it's Le Monde de la Photo, but my French is terrible, so I'm probably screwing that up.
So, that kind of ties into the last question. Well, not the last question, but another question I wanted to ask briefly. You said you're based out of Seoul, South Korea, correct?
Yeah, right now, at the moment.
Oh, at the moment, oh. So are you a mobile person where you tend to move every couple of years just to keep things new and interesting?
I move around a lot, yeah.
Okay. So what took you over to Seoul? Out of curiosity.
No, I first came here in 2002,
and
as an English teacher, and have been off and on in Seoul since then.
Awesome.
So I'm working on almost, I'm probably about 5.5 years now in Seoul altogether since 2002, but I was away for 4 years and then just recently came back in May, just because I missed it.
Really, I hear once you get a taste of the Pacific Rim, it never really leaves you.
Yeah, so. Well, it's a different experience this time around because for the first time I'm not doing the English teacher thing. I'm just sort of hanging out and working on the Turning Gate, trying to do some personal photography when I have time, but just sort of a different focus.
Definitely, and I think it speaks to the quality of a person's portfolio and what they're contributing to, I guess, the community at large when you can devote the amount of time that you are devoting not only to the Turning Gate but also to your photography as well. So I think that's pretty awesome. Very cool stuff.
Thank you.
Well, hey, the last question then before we go. We mentioned the website, obviously, and we mentioned the forum community for the Turning Gate where people can go and ask questions. But say people want to connect with you specifically. Do you have a social media presence where people can find out about you or talk to you on Twitter or Facebook or anything like that? Is there anything else you'd want to have us throw out in the show notes?
Sure. I'm on Twitter, just the Turning Gate. You can also get there from my website. I don't really do the Turning Gate presence on Facebook so much. My Facebook page is just nonsense. Actually, social media is, for me, it's the part of the internet that I enjoy the least. Like, I do it because I have to, but I'm not thrilled about it.
Well, I think that's part of the nature of the beast for all of us. Some of us
really is.
Are probably more adept at it than others.
Right.
Where it just comes naturally for them. But
yeah.
It's something, if you want to stay connected, if you want to be connected with others in the internet space, social media is a required component, and whether or not you like it, it is what it is. So, yeah, okay, we'll go ahead and throw a link to the Twitter site. Do you follow that regularly? Do you post there daily, or is that something where it's more like an off thing through the website kind of stuff?
I don't post there daily, but I try to keep up with it when I'm able to. All the blog headlines get sent automatically to Twitter, so if that's one way of following the blog, which is where I'm most active. But so with the blog, you can either get email subscriptions, you can do RSS, or follow it through Twitter. Find me on Google Plus if you want to, although I'm not really active there. I think Twitter is the social media that's most active for the Turning Gate.
Excellent. And the forum community, I think, is definitely one worth mentioning in the show notes, so I'll make sure to get that included over there as well.
Okay.
Great. Well, Matthew, hey, listen, thank you so much for coming on to the podcast to talk about getting your photography on the web. I think it's been a very useful subject, and the Turning Gate is definitely a very useful option for photographers out there that want to make that transition to a professional-looking website.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me on.
Oh, no, it's been a pleasure. It's definitely been a pleasure. And if you want, we can also talk offline about a couple other ideas I have with regard to incorporating the Turning Gate with Canon Blogger, because I think that may be something worth pursuing down the road.
Okay.
Ooh, a little teaser for the rest of the
day. Yeah, we can chat some more. Also, actually, while I'm here, I want to mention I am working on something new and sort of unrelated.
Ooh, drum roll.
I've got a WordPress theme that is nearing completion, and it's something that is separate from the Lightroom plugins. It's something I'm going to offer as kind of a parallel track for those who might not be Lightroom users but still want some really cool stuff. And it's very modern. It's responsive, which means that it sort of reshapes and reflows on mobile phones and tablets and browsers depending on the size of the display. And I'm working on some stuff with making images look nice on Retina displays. And so that's something I've been spending a lot of time on, and I'm hoping to get that out real soon. It's called Chato, and I'll be talking more about that on my blog, hopefully very soon, later this month.
Can you spell that for me?
Chato, Chado.
Chato, excellent.
Actually, the Turning Gate is running a prototype build right now.
No, just looking at the prototype. Great, now people are going to start going over and looking at the source code saying,
well, they can't get at the good stuff, thank God.
Thank God, yeah, that's.
But, so I'm doing the real-world stress testing. I've got a couple of testers. I'm hoping to launch that really soon. So that should be really cool, something different.
Excellent. So look forward to the Chato WordPress theme that Matthew will be coming out here with shortly. You can find Matthew over on theturninggate.net. There's a lot of very useful resources out there. There's a support page. There's even a frequently asked questions page. There's the forum community. You can also find that over on Twitter. And we'll throw a couple of the other mentions out there from the forum community so you can look at some sample galleries rather than my hackneyed little version there of different demos on my own website. Obviously, I haven't had a lot of time to focus on that, but we did want to at least get this podcast out there so people can look at the different options available for getting their photography on the web. Matthew, thank you very much for coming on the show. It's been great talking to you. Like I said, we'll probably have an offline discussion here in another couple weeks or two just to cross out some T's and dot some I's, because I think you may have another client on your hands.
Awesome. Thank you.
Coming on the show. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to this episode of the Learning Digital Photography Podcast, and we'll see you next time.